Hey, huge thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. Red is back. There's been developments every day with the Charlie Kirk story. Many of you have been watching Candice. She's really hammering it. And if you did miss part one with Red last week, then the link is in the description box, as is the link to Red's YouTube channel as well. So please subscribe to his important work. So huge thank you for coming on, man. You said there's been a development since we last spoke.
Yeah, this is, at least to me, this is literally like the Zapruder tape. Now, if I remember correctly, the Zapruder tape was first shown to the public in 1975 on Geraldo's show, which I think is one of the reasons he actually came to prominence. And everybody was just amazed, and they realized, wow, what we've been told. And then everything basically started to flow downhill from there. In fact, I do believe that's when the ex-CIA director, I can't remember his name, the one who drown right off his pier fishing. God, what was his name? But he was starting to want to try to clean up the CIA from what I understand. And yeah, he ended up being silenced, the Central Intelligence Agency way, I guess you'd say, to keep it mild here. But what happened was
Red, one second. Do you just want to give the viewers a recap of your theory and assume that people are watching tonight that didn't see part one?
great idea. Okay. So, and we've got an hour, correct? Because I tend to get long-winded. We got one. Okay. So, essentially what was happening was that everybody was saying two things. One, this looks like an exit wound, and there's no way a 30-06 did this. And of course, I thought the same thing. I really, and again, for your viewers, I did politics, I ran for office, did sleuthing and all that stuff. Way back in the day, and I was done with it. And I didn't think anything of it until I heard the 30-06. I'm like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But then the reports started coming, oh, it was 30-06, and then there's this guy on the roof, and then people started coming out like Peak Prosperity, Chris Martinson, who has a PhD in this kind of stuff, and he analyzes it, and he said, well, it doesn't really look like it could come from here. And if it was a 30-06 shot to here, and the bullet did land near his T1, which is your first thoracic, where your bump in your back is. If it landed there, it would take 12,000 pounds of pressure to stop that 30-06 bullet and then move it down 30 degrees. And anybody who knows anything about guns or hunting said, well, this is pretty much impossible. All right. Not completely impossible, but I used the phrase before. I mean, it's like, I may be the starting center for the Los Angeles Lakers, but let's be real. I'm old, I'm white, I'm fat, I'm about as athletic as potato salad. Probably not going to happen. Then Valhalla VFT shot a cattle neck, and just so basically everyone's saying, look, this can't happen. Okay, great. So what did happen? So Range Day Bro, his Marine friend had pointed something out to where there was a close-up shot, and it looked like it came to me right around here. And he initially thought hair and blood came out, and it ended up being the necklace blasting, which I can explain with my theory. Blasting out and basically tearing off of him. But when I saw that and I saw the cavitation, I saw what happened, it clicked immediately saying, okay, that's where the shot came from. All right, we need to work backwards from this because, you got people, okay, came from the front and did this, but that's really not how bullets work. It's not like the movies. The movies are there for entertainment in real life, and especially if you're a hunter, they don't work like that. So I started digging into this a little bit. And again, I thought, and again, I thought this all my life, and I progressed in age to where it's like, okay, I am right about this stuff. I just see things that other people apparently don't see. That's just my gift or curse, I guess, call it what you will. So the shot comes in, all right, looks to me at a blatantly abort angle, comes and hits his right side. Now, one of two things happens here, okay, especially if it's an angle which I rudimentarily tested out with with a protractor. My shot angle would be approximately about 31 degrees if it's a pass-through. Because if it did hit here and pass through here, okay, you're looking at a pretty steep angle. All right. Range Day Bro actually did a ballistic gel dummy bust test, head and bust. But his angle was at 17 degrees. He wanted 20, but what he had to work with, he probably couldn't get high enough to make that shot. But when it did 17 degrees, the bullet went pretty far over here to where if that bullet would have landed there, it would have hit a person, or at least those guardrails, and there would have been a bullet hole in those Comeback America or American Comeback boards, which would have been evidence. But I don't think that happened because of, I think it was the cavitation. But back to here, he did a test where he shot the dummy right back here. I don't really know why he did back here when he initially thought here. And there are other people who thought, sorry, I just got my hair cut, so everything's messed up. Right in the air, complete possibility. But if you've got in the air, like, oh, I forgot my skull. So right in the air here, if it lands here, it still can have that cavitation mass event. That if it's a couple inches higher, it's definitely inside the skull. And that comes to the pressure issue, as we'll talk about in a sec. But it comes from here, and it either exits out and hits the ground, and which is what causes the hole in his neck, or it stays within the head, which would be my theory. But if that is the case, then almost by definition, it can't be a 30-06, especially because it's a big bullet with a lot of weight behind it. Almost like if a perfect example is Shaq. Well, Shaq has got one of the worst free throw averages, even though he's the most fouled player in the history of the NBA. It's like, well, why is he? You know, he's this tall. He's close to the basket. Well, if you take a basketball and try to shoot a basketball, but then take a softball and try to shoot the same thing, you just don't have the control. And you also don't have the weight and the mass to make that thing, you know, go the way you want it. So you get the bigger bullet, the more weight it's got behind it, the more it's going to punch through. If you got a smaller bullet, even if it's traveling faster, when it hits something, the energy has a tendency to disperse more than go through. So it either passes through or it stays in the head. And if it stays in the head, my theory is it's going to be a lighter bullet, probably a lot faster, which a 22-250 caliber gun would be my choice. And again, to me, this is a professional hit. So they could use anything. And I wasn't clear in our last video when Range Day Bro had that short. They have a gun, and you've got basically, it's like a pistol grip, so there's no butt. And there's the gun about this big, maybe 18 inches long. And the barrel makes it about 20, 24 inches long. But the barrel can get screwed in, and that screw in is the actual silencer. So it basically just throws the bullet through the silencer, and it's two pieces. Well, that can fit in a backpack. And if it's a 22-250, even if it's a, I think it was a 300 blackout, a 300 blackout's got a maximum effective range of 165 yards. Well, if it's up from here, either between the buildings, like Range Day Bro said, or up on the roof, or where the door was, or where the balcony, or over here, that's about a 60 to 70 yard shot, well within the parameters. So you don't need this big honking sniper rifle like in my video with Gina Davis. That's for long range shots when you're trying to, like Carlos Hathcock that got that Vietnam general at 800 yards. You know, that's half a mile. So you need a bigger gun to go all that way, because even though you got the velocity, because it's not as heavy, it loses its momentum as it goes down. So if you got a high velocity round, comes into the head, all right, it releases all the energy. So, and I mentioned last time, the mob has a tendency to use had a tendency to use 22s because 22s would enter the brain, scramble all around, and just make the bullet unrecognizable. You could not match. So the bullet goes through the barrel of the gun, and it's got what's called rifling. So it spins the bullet like a quarterback pass and throws the bullet into a false equilibrium. So that's why the passes in football that go like this don't go far, unlike that 63-yard throw that Aaron Rodgers made a few years ago in the Detroit Lions touchdown. But that ball had a lot of spin on it. So if you got an equilibrium and you got less wobble, the bullet continues to go and it goes farther and maintains its velocity, and thus its stopping power. Its stopping power. So if you look at a ballistics chart, it'll show you feet per second velocity, what the bullet is out of the muzzle, 100 yards, 200 yards, and also the foot pounds, how much pressure and force it takes to stop that bullet, which is what Chris Matheson was talking about. So most bullets have, say, you know, between 1,000, 2,000 foot-pounds of energy to stop it. So if it would take 12,000 pounds of energy to stop that 30-06 to then embed it in his neck, okay, 30-06 would go through sheet metal. Again, I'm sorry, my brain thinks like this, so I'm trying to tie everything in and make sure I cover everything. So it comes into the skull, has enough energy to go through the skull right here. Now, your skull is actually pretty hard. But this entire thing is pressurized, okay? Your entire body's pressurized, okay? Your chest cavity has got your heart, thymus, and lungs, diaphragm, and then all your intestines are in the sac called your peritoneum, and all this is sterile. all this is cut off from everything, because your body needs to make sure that if it's going to fight off infection from here and here and here, it doesn't need to worry about this. So this is basically a huge cavity, your heart and lungs. And if you're, when you die, you know, there's nowhere, your lungs basically shrivel up like a balloon, like an animal balloon, just phew. So there's all this space in here. So it comes in, it's got all this energy. And if it's a 22,250, right, out of the muscle, it's 4,000 feet per second. A 30-06 generally is about 3,100 feet per second, okay, which is still pretty high. But most bullets are in, you know, 1,000-2,000 feet per second, and stopping power obviously varies. But if you've got the 30-06 bullet, generally is about 150 grains is how they measure it. It's just a unit of measurement, whereas a 22,250 is only 50 grains. So it's a lighter round, and again, you need to go really fast, and you need it to direct its energy. That's used for things like varmints. Like, I don't know, I'm sorry, I find it kind of humorous when people add sound bites to it, but if you shoot, say, a prairie dog, you'll see the prairie dog fly apart because all that energy is directed into its body, boom. So you got it coming through the skull. It doesn't have enough energy to go all the way through because it's a lighter round, but it's got all that energy. Well, where's that energy go? Now, in JFK, it was a Carcano 30 caliber round with a lot of power. So it blasted out the front of the skull. That's where you get the back and to the left. That's all covered in my video. But this, it enters the skull, and the energy has to go somewhere. It always has to go somewhere. If you, it's chemistry or physics. So where does it go? It can't go up, it can't go. So it has to go where there's empty space, because it's just like water. It will fill the empty space. It goes to the path of least resistance, just like electricity. It goes into the skull, and right here, all right, first off, you've got a hole in your head, and it's called your throat, all right? And you've got a hole in your skull. It's called the foramen magnum, all right? It's where your spinal column goes through, okay? So all that energy, bam, down here, that's where you get the cavitation, and the cavitation actually starts on the right side. Well, I guess you guys are looking this way, the right side of his face, which means the bullet came in. So I'll do it for you guys like you're looking at it. The bullet came in, the cavitation starts as the bullet's going through and the energy is going through. So it's going to start here, go here, and cavitate his neck. And you see it bulge, and then the tear form. At least that's what I saw originally. Some guy literally just sent me a video that, so hopefully I can verify that later on today. But my theory is it was a rip, and all the energy, had the bullet and all the energy stayed in his head, blasted it down, which broke his necklace. That's where you see that big boom. And when it comes to cavitation, if you watch ballistic gel tests, and I also have a video about what's called the pistol shrimp. It's just this shrimp lives in the ocean, and it kills its prey by cocking its big claw back like a fiddler crab, only it goes like this, and it sends on an air bubble. Now, when the air bubble comes like this, it collapses, and the surface tension, when it does that, momentarily becomes the temperature of the sun. That's a lot of energy. And if you watch ballistics gel video, it goes like, you got the hydrostatic cavitation, comes in, when it makes contact with itself, you see a flash of light. Now, a lot of guys say that's leftover residue of gunpowder, which is partially true, but that's really what causes it. Now, also, I can't physically pass through myself when it comes to energy, but if it's a gel block, you can almost see the energy waves. You go like this, and then come back, and then it just gets less and less and less over time. And as I said last time, like a quarter going, it just loses its, so it goes. So you can see the big blast, kind of comes back in on itself, happens a little bit again, and then after that, you really can't see the energy going, but hopefully you get my point. So that energy, that cavitation that happens, it comes back, bam, causes even more damage, a little bit more, and right on the backswing, could be both, is when you see the blood coming out of the wound. And this blue blood, this darker blood, which first off indicates some tissue to me, at least from my deer hunting experience. And it wasn't arterial spray. So if it's not arterial spray, if it was arterial spray, he would have bled out. Now, obviously, if the guys would have got to him, pinched it or put their thumb in it, like a medic would, then, okay, that's the first aid you'd administer. But everyone's saying, well, the security didn't do anything. They didn't do first aid. Well, if there's no first aid to render, what do? You can't really do anything. So you pick them up and take them to the hospital. And they probably, all in their minds, if they have any sort of skills at all, knew that he was gone. But you still got to do something. So if there's no blood pouring out because everything's done internally and it's just all that blood because the energy came out, what are you going to do? It's all internal. So they picked him up. So that's why there wasn't a lot of blood on the scene. So everything in my theory, all the questions that these guys have are answered. But these guys are stuck on, I don't know, maybe they haven't been screwed over by the government. I mean, a lot of these guys are SEALs and Green Beret, But I've been screwed over by the government so many times, I really don't trust anything they say. But they're so focused on the report. Paramount Tacticals did a video yesterday, the day before, talking about, you know, people are debunking all these things. Most of them, he's correct. But there's no footage of Tyler actually shooting a gun. There is. You just haven't seen it. Well, if they were so worried about these conspiracy theories, wouldn't they release that to say, here, look, he shot. Shut the F up. But they're so focused on the, I forgot it again, the charge report and what it said in there, that they're basically working from the charge report and trying to make everything fit instead of looking at what happened and working backwards. So I think that's pretty much it. He was shot from here, at least from the right side, probably from a high velocity but smaller caliber round, like a .22-250, went in his head, the cavitation happened, didn't leave the skull, all the energy, bam, closed in on itself, basically destroyed him, his tissues and internal tissues. There was at least one, if not multiple, I'm pretty sure there's at least two, if not three, reports talking about how his heart tissue was obliterated. And also, there was damage to his, so you got your C cervical vertebrae. So C2 through C6 were damaged. Well, how does it get damaged from the front and there's no exit and it stays in here? So that right there makes no sense. But if the bullet comes in here, okay, and either boom, the energy just shatters the vertebrae because it's going to go out in all directions like an atom bomb, right? All direction, and it shatters the vertebrae, or the bullet went like this, and either from the angle, which this new video, why we're doing this, kind of now shows, not necessarily proves, but darn near, came in either at that angle, and it went like this, crush, 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 C2 to C6. This is all shown in my video. C2 to C6, C7 and C8 weren't necessarily harmed, but then the bullet landed under his skin right next to his T1. Everything of that works with my theory. So either it got obliterated from the energy, or the bullet actually crushed the front and managed to make contact a little bit with his vertebrae. So all this stuff works. So if it came down, or if anything, it entered the skull and the and hitting the skull altered the trajectory just a little bit to actually move it instead of at this angle, now more at this angle, if that makes sense. So this video, does that explain? Do you have any questions on that before we continue?
No, that's very clear. Please keep going.
Okay. So I'm, of course, you know, going back to the same videos, just seeing who's got what information. And I like I said, I just started this account because I know, like, Red's Random, I see right here, brand new. I just started that because, all right, well, maybe I got to form a channel, at least for this, if not for other things, because it was on my political account. Well, these videos aren't monetized, you know, not to say I won't monetize anyway in the future, but these aren't monetized because we need this information out there. So what I was doing, I was going on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all the social media and putting Red's Random. So I've got an account, and I was going and following the people who I would normally follow, who would post the videos, like Valhalla and Paramount and Range Day Bro. So I went on a Range Day Bro to follow him, and I happened to see there was this fella, Make Germany Great Again. And he had posted this video, and it's the definition of irony. He posted the video to say, Range Day Bro, there's no way it came from blah, blah, blah. You know, I've got a video right here showing that there's nothing here. And it would have had to come in probably from Charlie's left side because of line of sight. Because if he was, you know, at this other roof here, there'd be trees in the way. And, you know, if it was Tyler, he'd have this itty bitty window to shoot through, blah, blah, blah. So he's basically posting this to try and disprove Range Day Bro. Well, I took a look at that because when I said in your last video, I needed people to send me, which is what this guy had sent. So, but there is one that's in slow motion that where you can see. Now, I could probably do it on the software I've got to do it frame by frame and see it myself. But if somebody has the slow motion version of it, please send it to me. So I went and checked my email to see if anybody sent anything to me regarding that and the video. So the building, apparently, because I had to look this up because nobody has mentioned this ever. The building to his right, where only faculty and staff are allowed, which is why nobody was on that second floor balcony. It's a building called the UVU Tours Building. So they got a whole building just for tours. I don't know, maybe there's teacher offices and whatever. But Charlie's right side, nobody had any video of that side. And everyone's, of course, focusing on, you know, Tyler Robinson and all his other theories and whatnot. So it kind of makes sense to me that nobody ever saw this, because if you don't look for something, you find something in you always find something in the last place you look. Nobody's looking over here. You know, it's like, and a matter of fact, I have it queued up specifically for this moment, just like Indiana Jones.
They're digging in the wrong place.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They're digging in the wrong place. So this guy has this video. I said, oh, I've never seen that video. And I thought somebody had sent it to me, because people sent me other stuff, but they didn't send me that. So I'm like, nobody sent it to me. It was this guy. And I closed it out, and luckily I went back in. I'm like, I've never seen it. Let me take a look. So I take a look, and I tried to look at between the video, and also Range Day Bro had the whole thing was because there was this muzzle flash, and I tried to find videos where this muzzle flash was. And apparently, what that was, and it kind of makes sense. Although I've never heard this, but could be something I just need to look into. When the bullet goes from supersonic speed back to below the speed of sound, all right, it'll form this cloud. Now, if you watch jet planes, they'll be, especially above the water, air shows, they'll be going and all of a sudden, boom, instantaneously, almost like that episode of Black Mirror where the soldiers are going to kill the roaches, the humans that have mutated, boom, it flashes almost like fog. It looks like fog, and you see the tip of the plane, just the tip. You see the tip of the plane, bam, this big cloud forms in front of them. That's when they start breaking the sound barrier. So it does make a bit of sense that that's what that was, even though I still haven't found a video past Rage Day Bros that says that. But that makes at least sense physics-wise. So I'm looking for that. I'm looking for smoke, movement, anything. So I start looking between the two buildings. Didn't see anything. Then I start where, that bush was. And the door, even though the door opens the wrong way, for it to be a, I was like, damn, maybe they killed my theory. And looking at, and then lastly, I looked at the roof, and I'm on my phone, and I'm like, whoa, was that a dot? So I tried to zoom in, and I'm like, that looks like a dot. So I went back to this computer here, blew it up on my screen, and it's clear as day. Now, I just sent you, I don't know if you got the email, I just sent you the clips. I don't know if you got a team working right now, but if they can, go and get the clips that I used in the video that I just posted, that it has a slow-mo version, 40% of normal speed up on the roof, and then a 20% speed up on the roof, close-up, a regular back, and then close-up. The problem with my video is that, and again, I haven't used this software in so long, it went from regular resolution and size to this. So you can't really see anything, but the slow-mo version that I slowed down, you can clearly see. So say Spice Girls phone. Don't ask. So it basically, here's the roof. Right as the shot's being taken, you see this shadow thing, and it goes away. It's like, well, what the hell is that? That literally looks like a person doing what in my other video Josh Hartman did in the movie Lucky Number 11, but instead of being up on top of the roof like this, like, okay, there you go. Like somebody basically coming up, going, and going back down. So this is the original video that that he had. So so where the pink and blue tent is, you go directly above that and see where on that balcony there's that door. Yeah, okay, so move your cursor right above the pink and blue tent if you can, or whoever's doing that. Okay, now go up, see that? Yep, go up until you see that door right now. Right there. All right, that door. Now go directly above that and right at the level of the roof. Right there, right around there, you're going to see that come up and go back down. Now up there, I didn't realize at the time, but other people have started doing video. Well, that's actually what first prompted me was somebody had released a video to Range Day Bruin to Paramount that somebody did a 3D model so that they were actually taking angles to see where they would have to test. But of course, nobody did the roof. So my theory is that it's at a 31 degree angle if it's a pass through. Now, if it's up on the roof there, that might actually be possible. So if you have the other two videos, there's four of them. So there's this, there's the 40%, 20% of this shot, and then there's the 40% and 20% of the close-up. So we can pretty much now move out of this.
Do you not want me to play this one, Red?
Well, so this is the original. So it's about whatever it is. I can't see the time frame, but play this. So this video though has a skip. Now, and I said in my video afterwards, but that's how my brain thinks, instead of before. So basically what happens is that you see the video, this guy's going to go like this, and he's going to turn to see the crowd, and he said, I have it right here still, and I messed it up on my video. So it says, Charlie Kirk brings a pretty good audience. And in there, you'll hear Charlie when he says, I've got it written down right here, when he says, counting or not counting game violence. So I mouth along with it. So you can tell it's the same video. And I even put the one I got from Ryan Mata with the back cavitation and match it up. So you can tell that this is the same day and everything, obviously. But play this video, but you'll see a skip. And it seems to me what the guy did was, remember when the one guy that saw Tyler Robinson up on the roof and then he paused it and about 3 seconds later, he said the shot rang out. So this, it seems to me that the guy, hey, we got a pretty good audience. He turned it off after the shot, and then, oh my God, there was a shot, because you've got a little bit of delay in your brain, and then hit again, and that's when you see the skip, and then everyone starts. At least that's what it seems to me. I don't know, but again, no one's ever saw this, so why would this be altered and somebody not say, hey, by the way, there's a guy up on there. So see if you guys can see it. You know, those of you at home, make this full screen as much as you can, and right up there at that point. So if you could play this one all the way through, and then play the, the 40, then the 20, then the 40 close-up, then the 20.
All right. We'll go through these slowly then, viewers. Huge thank you for everybody who's watching.
Yes.
So as you're watching this video now, I believe this, it's going to zoom in on the roof. It's grainy. And as you're watching it, put a 1 in the chat if you think you can see a figure on the roof. Put a 2 in the chat if you don't think you can see a figure in the roof. So I'm going to play it. It's not very long. It's only 7 seconds. So get ready. Here we go.
Oh, this is it. Okay.
I'm going to play that again because it was so short.
So this is the close-up. Okay. We just need this one then. Right there.
Right there.
Nobody's seen this before. Because nobody's looking. Nobody's ever said, hey, what's there up on their roof? And if it's far enough back where nobody can see with their line of sight, but up on that roof, there is, and again, this is access only by faculty and staff. And again, all you need, what you would need to solve this case is if you go to the person who has the controls, excuse me, to give access to key cards to the people in that building, and you find out who got access that normally doesn't have access anywhere from the day of, the day before, the week before, whatever, and who accessed the key card to go up on that roof, you'll find who did it, or at least, and if there's cameras there. But my guess is that, the system's malfunctioning and so were the cameras. How convenient. Like I said before, I sound like the church lady. Everything with these operations are how convenient. So the guy goes up on the roof. And up on the roof, apparently, there's a ledge. It's like, I don't know, chest high, waist high. And when you go up on the roof, right, there is this non-roofed enclosure, kind of like a box. Like if you're looking at a plan view of an apartment and you've got the door, the space for the door. So, hey, you know, here's the space for the door. And then you've got the drawing where the door opens this way. Or if you've done theater plans or blueprints or whatever, and it's just open. And there's like a transformer or something there, probably air conditioning unit, something. So you've got that, and it's enclosed by what looks to me at least like a 8 or 10 foot wall with no roof. And I guess, okay, why would you put a roof on something if the transformer or whatever is covered? But why block it off? And is that something new? Was that not there? And then they did that 3 months ago, and all of a sudden, again, this is something to look into, especially for the people that live there. I'm not flying out to Utah to look at this stuff, but other people can. But if he got access to that, all right, he could have just put a ladder up, you know, gone in there, all right, ready, go. And these guys are trained professionals. This is what they do. All they do is they aim and go like this. And they train how to get there and how to get back. This is their job. It's like you looking at your circuit breaker box and having no freaking clue what that is or how it works. But honestly, within a day, somebody could explain it to you and you at least have a rudimentary understanding of how that works. Okay. But that's all these guys do. That's what they do. Boom. They're trained. I mean, like you guys, you know, sit there and practice your pickleball or, you know, your stalk or your free throws or whatever it is. These guys practice going, that's what they do. This is their job. And they've got the best equipment. Now, I tried to look up microwave technology, and that was from, I just looked it up, I can't remember. It's a movie with Annette Bening, Denzel Washington, and Tony Shalhoub, and it's about the siege, not under siege, the siege. I don't remember the plot, but Tony Shalhoub, I think, worked with Denzel with the FBI, and there was a scene where before the movie, he was talking about microwave technology. It's like, I think they got microwave technology. We can see through walls and see people's movement. And then there's the scene, and this is back in 98 or 99. So this is at least 25 and not almost 30 years ago that they supposedly had this technology, because just like with movies, life mimics art, art mimics life. You'll see something in a movie, Black Mirror, hopefully not, and then 10 years later, it becomes a reality. Whether it's Star Trek and these things or whatever. But there's a scene where they have to work together to get the bad guy, and Tony Shalhoub goes, he walks into the room where they're finally going to get the bad guy, and he goes, oh, you guys have microwave technology? So he was right that they do, and they could see the person and hear them or whatever. So, you know, people say, well, infrared scopes don't work that way, and thermal scopes don't work that way. Yeah, okay, I get it, but that doesn't mean they don't have another kind of technology where they can see right through that tent. And, I mean, maybe in that thing with the guy in the trunk with the laser, I don't know, maybe he was pointing at that. It's like, okay, hit right here, and you just kind of go like this until it goes, whoop, like a dot just shows up when you're on target, and you pull the trigger. I mean, there's so many things that could be. But the point is, there's somebody out there. There's somebody out there on a building that nobody has named until I just named it right, the UVU Tours building, and shot. And then it's so easy to get away because everyone's scrambling on the ground level. What I would implore everybody listening to do, okay, and some of you might have done this before, but there is a video. It's like a minute and 49 seconds. And it's got this group of people, and I think it's like in front of a red curtain or something, and it's called The Monkey Business Illusion. All right, watch that video, follow the instructions, see if you can actually do what they say. But it's basically, can you count a certain amount of things that are happening on the screen? Now, whether you're right or wrong, it doesn't matter necessarily for this point, but go watch that video. And then when I'm saying all this stuff, you'll think back and go, okay, now I understand what you're saying. Because if people down below see the shot, they're not looking around for it. Hell, nobody really looked around to see where the shot came from. And everybody that looked around, supposedly, to where the shot came from, were like a couple people went like this. But it almost seems to me the people that did that were the plants, you know. But nobody went, and of course, this place is a bowl, so everything echoes, you know? So that's why a lot of people thought that there were two shots. But somebody could easily, I guess from your direction, shot from right up here, boom, done, everybody panics. Hell, like I said, take the thing apart, stuff in the backpack, walk out, nobody knows. Matter of fact, I can't tell you how many political events and stuff that I've walked into, how many weddings I crashed, because act like you're supposed to be there. Just act like you're supposed to be there. The movie Hair, the musical Hair with Treat Williams and Olivia D'Angelo, when the hippies, you know, go and crash that party because the guy that's going into the army from Oklahoma saw the pretty girl on the horse and wanted to ask her out before he, you know, goes off to Nam. And so they're like, well, screw it, let's just do it. And then, you know, who are those people? Well, why don't you take care of it? And the guy goes, I'm sorry, sir. Who are you? And he says, we're with Mr. Berger. Oh, okay, and goes back, they're with Mr. Berger. Who's Mr. Berger? And Mr. Berger Street Williams, one of the hippies. Just like my friend did in the medical, he was in a medical building to get some information. He snuck in with a lab coat and the security said, who are you? He said, I'll say the name. Bill told me to go this way. Oh, and he just walked right on by. Act like you're supposed to be there. So, oh, you'd see somebody on the roof, would you? Watch the monkey business illusion in the you tell me, would you? Especially if you heard the shot, you don't know where the shots came from. Most people, you know, even in Utah, a lot, you know, heavily hunting into guns, conservative area. But it, to me, it makes perfect sense that it's this guy, professional, shot from the roof. And if I can get the resources, in a couple of days, it's deer hunting season. So I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to be in a remote area. I can test this stuff. I can test out my theory if I can get a relatively high-speed camera. Rage Day Bro did his test with a GoPro Hero 12 or something with 240 frames per second. I mean, you know, that's enough to at least show the cavitation and such. So again, my theory came in. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys, this way. Came in, hit, all the energy went kaboom, blasted back up. So Range Day Bro shot back here. I'm thinking because he thought it was a back headshot, and also maybe going from that guy who thought it was an air rifle, that the three frames where the bullet supposedly came in. The problem with that is that those bullets, I don't think, have enough energy to have that cavitation. And it wouldn't have made the cavitation like it did. It would have made a cavitation more towards the front of his face. So I'm guessing why I put it back here. So if he does the test again, hope, I mean, it's his resources, he can do what he wants. But as far as I'm concerned, he's wasting his time and money, or somebody else's time and money, whichever. But if you can get it to where it just shoot either right in the ear, my guess right above the ear, because again, you're in the ear, right there, your jaw, there's no real skull. But if you're here, it's definitely skull. And the skull, the pressure goes like this. Where's that pressure going to go? It's going to go wherever a hole is. Well, where's the biggest hole? Right here. Well, there's also one right here, here, and here. But you still got that part of the skull that you've got, you know, because your eyes have the sockets in them, but your optic nerves actually, you go in that little hole in the skull's eyeballs. So it's not really a hole to where your eyeballs are going to blast out, and also not necessarily your mouth, even though you see the cavitation start from here, which again makes perfect sense. Because it's going to start, and the cavitation always follows the bullet. There's no question about that. You can't have cavitation without the bullet. So, like I said, if I can show for certain, or anyone can show for certain, that when the bullet hits and his head goes down and you see that hit and there's no wound instantaneously on a fast enough frame, then it's likely that the cavitation was what caused that injury and then what caused everything to spill out. So hopefully that brings us to where we need to be in order to convince the audience that this is something that people need to look at. This is something that everybody needs to share because it's irrefutable. There's something there, whether it's a guy, whether it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a guy in a panda suit. Who knows? But nobody really has, this is the only video I've ever seen that has this. So if somebody's got extra video, or if somebody had posted where they were above Charlie and Charlie was to their right. So I guess to you guys, it'd be like this. And the shot rang out and somebody bolted from way the hell away and either jumped through or over a caution tape that they'd put there, which is kind of interesting. Why would they put caution tape there? When you're already on the roof and you can see Charlie, why would they not want you to go over there? Kind of seems a little, seriously, why would they have put caution tape there? Right? Because they didn't want anybody to get closer, because the closer you get, you might see the guy over here, you know, either in that little indentation of a room where the AC unit or whatever was, or you might see him above that. So that's what I'd like somebody to do. All these people that have gone and done the walkthrough on the campus will tell you what. Do a walkthrough on that. The problem is you're probably not getting in because it's a building that only faculty and staff are allowed for. And if, say, you've got a friend on the faculty, you know, they might swipe the card and it's denied access because it's something what you need to do. And I remember my dad telling us, because I was going to school, college at the time, to be a teacher before the Education Department got put on probation. Yeah, long story on that. But I was talking to him. I was like, oh, you know, I'll make good friends with the principal and the vice principal. He said, wasting your time. I'm like, what do you mean? They run the school. He says, no, secretaries and janitors run the school. You think when I go do those basketball games and officiate the basketball games at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday that the principal's unlocking the door? No, it's the janitors unlocking the door. And the secretaries are the one that actually move all the paperwork. And this is before email, you know, so move all the paperwork and make all the calls and take all the calls. So-and-so came in sick. They're the ones that run the school. So what you need to do is find a janitor or a maintenance person, right, that has access to that. And, you know, they're probably going to be, you know, risking their job. Now, I realize it's a government job, government benefits. You know, you got to find somebody really young or, you know, somebody that, you know, has terminal cancer or something that they're willing to say, you know what, yeah, I need to solve this. But there's another thing is that I'll say to these people that, you know, if you're trying to convince somebody, it's like, if you are the one that does this and helps break this case, I guarantee you somebody will be willing to pony up for a lawyer for you to get your pension back. And if that's not the case, then this is not the America that you and I, well, not you, not the America that I grew up in. But you came over later, right? Correct? Like in your 20s?
Yeah. But let me just say to the viewers real quick. So we've got about 2,000 watching live presently across all the platforms. So if you missed Red part one, link is down there. We've also got Red's YouTube channel. He's got content over there. Please subscribe. If you've got any information you would like to give to Red or any further questions you want to ask him off the air, he's also kindly provided his email as well, which is in the description box below this video if you're watching it on YouTube. So we've got about 20 minutes left, and we've had tons of questions come in. Yeah. You want to go over to the questions yet, Red, or are you still got a bit more to say? Or
not really. I think some of the questions will. I'd rather do that because somebody might bring in something that I haven't thought of or have a bit of information. So I'd say let's do that because most of what I have to say I've covered. So I say let's do the questions and get the audience involved.
All right, yeah, and you know, many of us are watching Candace Owens every night. She's got millions of people watching, and I think she's very brave because, you know, she's calling out, like, really powerful people, and I think we're all on the same page. We just want to get to the truth here. It's an absolute crock of poppycock what the government is telling us, and most people, as we did a poll in the last stream that we did, Red, most of the viewers believe, in like you, that indeed it was a professional hit.
One thing on that. I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage. All right. If somebody needs to be the standard bearer, the flag bearer for this, and if somehow Candace is watching, let her know. It's like, if you need somebody to do things, I don't have a family to worry about. So I'm willing to march in, you know, to the mouth of the beast and do what needs to be done. So if there's some information that anyone has that they don't want themselves to be tied in with, because, you know, they, like with the janitor, you know, or the maintenance guy, it's like, well, it's going to be hard to find somebody because, you know, they don't want to lose their livelihood. I get it. I completely get it. So I don't necessarily have to worry about that. And I'll take the slings and arrows. So any information you guys can provide, just lay it on me, because, and I will never, ever reveal a source, because even though I'm not a journalist, I'm still technically protected under the First Amendment, because I'll go to jail. I'll do the time. Now I have a kidney transplant. So worst case scenario, I just stopped taking my medication and I'm dead within like a month. I mean, it's a horrible death. You're drawing on your own fluid in your lungs, but.
All right. Let's move on from that, Red. YouTube doesn't like such discussions. So Natalie, though, after reviewing the footage from the camera back to Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens noted that no traces of blood were visible on his neck, including the moment when he was lying sideways on his left side. Anything to add to that, Red?
Because as I was stating before, when the blood came out, that's basically pressure and all this tissue and blood. Now, if you ever shot a deer, you shoot the deer and even hours later, it bleeds all over the place. you know, especially, you know, you field dress it and you take everything out, you'll get, I mean, pools of just blood and tissue, you know, just what you do when you have to slaughter an animal. But all the damages internal, what came out basically was all that came out minus it, you know, maybe get a few extra drops and such here. So it makes perfect sense why none of this blood came out, because again, you got your injury here, lay on your side. Okay, everything's gonna pull here. Now in like CSI, you can tell if somebody's been moved, because say they're on their left side and they die, all the blood and everything goes pools, and it's called lividity and fixed lividity. So then when you move them after that's happened, after rigor and all that, you can see it and that doesn't change. So, but if you go like this, so say your body was filled with water, or take a milk jug that's about that full, turn it on its side, everything's right here, and it's not going to pour out the nozzle because all the blood's here. So it makes perfect sense to me that once they even tilted them on its side, that there's not going to be a lot of blood, because all the damage was internal. And the only reason that stuff came out was because the cavitation and the pressure folded back on itself and basically squeezed it out of them. And once that squeeze happened, there's really nothing more to squeeze, because he's probably not breathing. His heart was damaged. And again, in my theory, you hit here, right there in the middle of your brain is the red nucleus, which is what causes the damage to that's what causes the corticate posturing. All these other ones, you got to get hit in the neck and then have the explosion go up and damage the red nucleus. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but guess what does? Right here, a shot right through the red nucleus. So that actually, to me, makes perfect sense, whether it was in the blood.
Oh, all right. Next one is from Philan. Didn't Candice say that she has someone that said they saw someone on that roof in a military outfit?
I have not caught that. I try to catch as much of her stuff as I can. Again, busy getting ready for hunting and all that stuff. Just perfect timing, I guess. If that is the case, that makes perfect sense. Although the thing that I would, unless the person, so okay, let's divide this into two parts. So if the person was in a military uniform, all right, they could probably say, especially since it's a very heavily, a heavy CIA recruitment location in Utah in general, and that particular university, the guy could say, oh, I'm Sergeant so-and-so with the ROTC program. You know, so that would make sense, but it would make more sense to me that they would dress as, like I say, a maintenance person, you know, go up with their tool bag and their backpack that's got the gun that, you know, nobody knows. It's just a maintenance guy. And everybody carries backpacks. Now, hell, my brother teaches and he carries a backpack, whereas my dad would carry a briefcase to school. My parents are both teachers. So, you know, everybody carries backpacks, so nobody really noticed. So it could be either or, but I mean, if I were the person having that assignment, I wouldn't necessarily dress in military fatigues, because you dress in military fatigues, the first thing you think when you see somebody in military fatigues is one of two things, war or guns or protection or safety or whatever, but something in that genre. Whereas if you see a nurse, you think health and healing, and you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's completely plausible, but I did not hear that. So thank you for bringing that up. But I did not hear that. So hopefully that answers that question.
All right. Next question is, let me see, what should I pick? The shooter was a lightweight. Do you think he could handle the rifle? The alleged shooter.
Oh, you're talking Tyler Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You get, you know, it's gun family, but Tyler liked fishing and didn't really like hunting. And, you know, now that he's supposedly with all this trans stuff, it's like, okay, was he always like that? And the family just didn't know because he hid it. Nobody's really brought that fact up. You know, he never had a girlfriend. Well, was he always attracted to men, and or was his lance paid attention to him? So there's a million different variations there. But lightweight, he could handle the rifle. The one thing I will say is that, honestly, it's almost like shooting a basketball. It's not hard, but if you want to get really, really proficient at anything, you do have to practice. But amateurs practice until they get it right. Professionals practice until they don't get it wrong. So, and I've heard this since I was a kid, and every single person that's been a sharpshooter that I've met in the Marines, the Army, wherever, that they actually got that. Because when you go into basic, it's like the first pin you can get as a sharpshooter. Every single one of them either never shot a firearm or had minimal experience, like they were 8 years old and they were on somebody's, you know, or Boy Scout camp or whatever, because the military trains you to do it supposedly the best way. But it's not really that hard to take a scope, as long as you can control your breathing and whatnot, and you got to rest, and you just at the right time, you know, depending on the distance and the wind and all this stuff. But I mean, 150 yards, I mean, that's a 7-iron in golf, you know, for most people. So it's not really that great of a distance. So could he handle the rifle? Sure. Especially if you grew up in a family with guns, you at least know about them. But I'd be more concerned with, you know, the gun itself and the old World War One, which I debunked, barrel on the new stock, etc. But I think, yeah, if say, for example, he was the one that did, yeah, I can see him pulling it off. It's really not that hard.
You got loads of people saying, the chair, Red, please address the disappearing chair.
The disappearing chair.
All right. I don't, is that some kind of cryptic? I don't know. All right, let me see. Goldie wants to know, do you think the FBI is interested at all in solving this case?
Probably not, because everything Cash Patel has done and said. But here's the thing, is that it's not really the FBI's case. Okay. Now there are federal cases for, say, murder, RICO statutes, mob, you know, you something to a judge or whatnot, then it becomes a federal case. Or if, you know, Thomas Crooks was succeeded, that would have been a federal case. But almost every murder charge is a state charge. That's why some states have the death penalty, some states don't. Some states have, like Utah, technically has the firing squad. So it really is a state case. And somebody just told me that, and I didn't realize this, maybe which is strange, given my past with such things, is that there is no coroner in Utah, and I don't think there is one in Wisconsin. It's a state medical examiner. So a lot of that would be handled through the state and not the local authorities, but the local authorities be taking care of the case. But when it comes to the FBI, I don't think they're interested at all, because number one, you know, I know nothing. I'm Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. Hey, if you don't know anything, you can't lie, you can't perjure, you just wash your hands clean. So I don't think the FBI is interested in solving this case. Plus, to me, this is a professional hit. Who? I don't know. I'm not really delving into that. Maybe later on I'll do that. My focus, again, is to deal with this shot and to prove that the state's case does not hold water, because like a cascading style sheet and HTML and web design, if we can prove that that there was at least beyond a reasonable doubt a possibility that somebody shot from that roof, then everything else the state's been saying is absolute garbage. And quite honestly, I'm wondering what the defense team is doing. Is the defense team, maybe they're in on it, but you know, lawyers like that, it's their reputation that makes them money, and they want to be famous because, hey, you know, Johnny Cochran, I got OJ off, I got Tyler Robinson off because I'm such a good lawyer, hire me. And that, once these guys are all long gone and dead, their names will still be remembered. So I think the defense team would really like to have this information, but I'll go back to a case in Wisconsin, the Stephen Avery case. They put that Denny rule in, right? And they said, well, you can't have anybody else, you know, as a possible person who murdered Teresa Halbach, right? So the judge in this case might say, you know, but again, is the Denny rule just Wisconsin? Is there another rule in Utah that says, well, you know, if there's a possibility of more than one person, the judge can just say, well, I'm not letting any of that in. And then right there, the case is done. The defense really, you know, has no case. But I mean, they can do other things. But I mean, if you know what I'm saying, it's just, to me, it seems that this is going to be handled. Here's another thing I predict might happen. He's facing the death penalty. Okay. Almost everybody facing the death penalty pleads because they don't want to die. Even though he might live to 80, so he can miss 60 years in prison, eating bad food and having other things possibly happen to him. I don't know why you want to do that, but you know, they might say, well, tell you what, just plead guilty. We'll take off the death penalty. You tell your side of the story, whether it's true, false, or not, and the judge slams the gavel, case closed. Nobody ever finds out. It would not surprise me one bit if that were what would be transpiring here, especially if the judge puts the shackles on the defense for bringing things like this to light, if that answers the question.
Yeah, and let me also add that the FBI are just brought in to control the narrative and protect the vested interests. What did the FBI do for Maria Farmer when she complained about Epstein? Not very much, did they? It took years, years later for the action to be taken and for the curtain to be drawn open on that horrible world. All right, so Jane is saying, please explain why not a spot of blood can be seen on any of the three security guys who jumped to help Charlie moments after he fell.
Well, there was blood, but there wasn't a lot of it. I mean, honestly, you get a bad nosebleed and, you know, kind of go like this. Ow, shouldn't have touched my nose. Sorry, I had surgery. It's getting better, but still hurts. Some guy had blood here. There's a few drops of blood. There was blood. There wasn't no blood. There was blood, but there wasn't a lot of it, which again goes to my theory to where if he's not bleeding outright and bleeding out and his heart's not beating, there's not going to be any blood if everything's internal. And the blood that they did get on them is probably because if you're, say, cradling Charlie's head, you know, here, you're going to get that blood right there on your arm, you know. And if he is bleeding out the ear, then, okay, it's not going to bleed that much because once the heart stops beating, everything is just basically gravity and seepage. So that is why there's not a lot of blood on these security guys. And the whole thing with it, they didn't know what they were doing. They weren't, if there's nothing to do, they're not going to do anything. You can't fix something that's broken inside. You know, it's like an auto body shop trying to fix the engine on your car. Well, they can't. They can't get to it, you know. So, well, obviously they can, but you know what I mean. Bad example. But
so Judy wants to know, where did all of the cell phones go that were recording?
That's kind of my question too, because there were a lot, but if Make Charity Great Again had not posted that, and I had not seen that at the time, we'd not be having this conversation. But nobody seems to have a shot of the shot from Charlie's left, except that which we just played here. So again, where did all those go? Now, they hammered the one guy saying, Cameron Backlund wasn't going to take the SD card. I would have taken that SD card because, again, I don't trust law enforcement. Because once law enforcement gets a hold of something, they have it. You can't just walk in and say, I'd like my SD card back. Can you make a copy? They're going to say, no, right there. You know, go cram a cloud. It's ours. So you make a copy at least and then give them the original if you want to. That's probably what I would do. Make a copy, then a copy, then a copy, you know, send a few art or whatnot, email it to yourself. So you've got to, but, you know, once law enforcement gets a hold of that, so if people surrendered their phones, which is what a lot of people did for the JFK. Some, I can't, there's a story of how Zapruder managed to leave without anybody getting a hold of his camera. And I think he's put in the drawer or something for all those years. But yeah, I kind of wonder about that myself, because if there are no more videos other than the one we just saw, from that rooftop, that's all we've got. But hopefully somebody out there is like the guy from Aaron Brockovich who, you know, I was supposed to destroy all the documents, but it turns out I wasn't a very good employee. And I know it's a movie, but that guy only came forward because his brother who worked at the plant cleaning the towers died. And he finally said, well, I got to do something about this. So hopefully somebody comes forward with more videos and more information regarding that angle.
All right, the three guys that were fiddling around with Charlie's body for several minutes before they carried him away, what were they doing?
I doubt they were playing Parcheesi. But again, if you've got any time a crisis situation happens, it's fight, flight, or freeze usually. Now, obviously that's in, you know, bodily harm. But Tucker Carlson told a story about he was in Dubai. A plane took off, engine, you know, caught on fire, something exploded, and he went down. And he stands up to get off the plane, and the flight attendant says, no, sit down, everything's fine. And he said, everything is demonstrably the exact opposite of fine. The plane is on fire, I'm getting out of here. But most everybody else sat down. There was and I think it was in England, actually, at Heathrow, where it was foggy, and a plane was taxiing, and another one came and basically knocked the fuselage off, like basically just took the top off and, you know, killed a bunch of people. But the plane was on fire, and it was a story about one guy. He stood up and he grabs his wife's hand. He says, come on. She says, no, we're fine. He said, no, we're getting off this plane right now. Got off the plane, opened the door. Psh, the thing came out. They rolled down And a bunch of people died because they sat there because, well, I guess we just got to sit here. People, we are conditioned as human beings to follow certain rules, okay? Whether it's you got to use your turn signal and all this other stuff, but we're conditioned to follow rules from a young age because that's what makes society function. So, you know, when you get to where you're in the crisis mode and you see something that you've never seen before. Now, combat medics especially, you know, you get shot, you plug the hole, you apply pressure, you maybe get a hemostat clamp on it or whatever. They probably got little toolkits and first aid kits. But if you see something, you know, where is he bleeding from? I don't know. You see an entrance wound, you see an exit wound, you see a, like I said, I've had deer that I shot, didn't bleed. And we really had to dig in to find an entrance wound. So they probably didn't know what the hell was going on. I don't see it. He's bleeding. Where's the shot? Stop the bleeding. I can't stop the bleeding. So they're sitting there just futzing around, not really knowing what to do because they never encountered that before. That would be my guess. Now, again, they could all be in on it, act like they were doing something. Yeah, okay, we got enough time. Okay, 90 seconds have gone by. Okay, now it's time to lift them out. Entirely possible. But it's also entirely feasible because even the most well-trained people, if you come up against something that you have no lawyers, you come up with a question or a cross-examination where somebody throws something out and you go, oh, wow, I've got no response to that. That could easily have been what they did as well. So
you got a few guys asking about your thoughts on why no ambulance was on standby.
I swear there was an ambulance there, but that just goes to further there. And if this, you know, if this all is not only just a professional, let's say one, you know, group doing something versus a lot of people tied in on it, which it could be either. I don't put it past these guys for anything. Again, there's so many holes. Like I said last time, you know, the 30-06, it almost seems to me like, you know, the head of the black ops guy who does these assassin type assignments, you know, had his sister's kid. You need to get my son a job, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, okay, fine, here, you just go grab the gun from the warehouse and grab the wrong one instead of grabbing the one that they wanted, they grab the 30-06, you know. So there are a bunch of holes in there. And if that was the case, and if I were, see, I always put myself in the shoes, no matter what it is, like I said, bank robbery, something like this, you know, whatever. Finding materials to build a DeLorean that's a time machine, whatever it is. All right, what would I do in this scenario? I would have an ambulance on there. First off, like people said, it was state law, right? So you're infracting state law. And secondly, that would kind of be a hand tip to me. Oh, I forgot the ambulance. Like Weird Science, where they try to impress Robert Downey Jr. or whatever, and they try to make them, you know, a girl like Kelly LeBrock, and she comes in and said, you just had to do it, didn't you? But you forgot one thing. And he goes, we forgot to hook up the doll. And of course, chaos ensues because of that one misstep. Office Space. He goes to check the account. Supposed to have $20 in it. That's $275,000 in it. Oh, man, I always do that. Misplace a decimal or something. Sure, it happens. But if this is your job, I don't understand why you wouldn't have an ambulance on standby just so it wouldn't be another thing to conspiracy theorize for all those sleuths out here.
All right. Next question is... thoughts on why they rushed to do construction on that area immediately after the incident?
Perfect piggyback leapfrog off of this. Yes. Why would you do that? Why would you not make it look like we're, all you got to do is rope it off and eventually people just walk around. It's like construction. You know, they just close one of the ramp on the freeway near me. Okay, no, I got to take this direction until that ramp. So why would they not just put a bunch of construction or caution? Because they had it up there where that one guy ran all the way and then hopped over the construction. They had it over there. They had the construction caution tape there. Why would you not just warden that off? And I guess the only thing that maybe they thought that somebody would go in and start digging around in the dirt. And like I said, has anyone taken a metal detector and gone through there to just ixnay? That right there, too, would pretty much answer my conundrum of whether or not it was a pass-through or if it was the cavitation that caused the neck injury, because if there's no bullet in the ground, okay, now we know it stayed in his body. So I don't know why on earth, why on God's green dantooine that they would do something like that, because all that does is bring more questions. But again, the government is full of people. and people are fallible. And there's an old saying, it's like those people who can do, those who can't teach, and those who can't teach become administrators, whatever it is. Those people who can't make it in the real world, which is Mark Bellinger's a DJ or a radio personality who now only does podcasts. He said that's the reason that Johnny Cochran beat Marsha Clark, because Marsha Clark works for the government. She gets a steady paycheck. She's got no skin in the game. She's got no reputation, really, unless it's, you know, their peers with that. But the defense attorney, they got something to fight for. They got money to fight for. They got reputation to fight for. So you're working for the government. Okay, if I don't do my job, I'm not going to get fired. I got government immunity. So there's a lot of that, too. So just ideas to put into people's minds on how things, some things will happen with precision, and how some things are done so sloppily that, you know, a 5-year-old could point out and say, something's wrong there. So,
all right. JD wants to know, what if all this bullet stuff is a distraction? What if it was some injectable nano crazy tech that can be triggered to explode?
Well, again, me being a center for the Lakers, it's entirely possible, but highly unlikely, because first off, they did this in public. It would have been so easy to just get in through his kitchen window, pop. Why didn't they do that? And then we'd all find out in the news. Because, and Mark Belling, the radio talk show host here, he says this a lot. He said, when you see things, whether it's George Floyd, whether it's anything, because if you would have heard a news report that a cop, you know, George Floyd died in police custody, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Newspaper article, you know, the TV anchors say it, but when you see it, matter of fact, if you think about this, the civil rights movement, when did that happen? Right as television was coming into the fray. In 1963 or so, the majority, or at least around half of Americans, had a television. So when you read a report saying, you know, okay, a bunch of people had some dogs sticking on them in fire hoses, you know, because they're asking for the right to vote. When you see that, you go, oh my, what they're just trying to vote. What? That's what changes things. That's literally what changed that whole thing, is that people saw it. And there's another, same thing with Kennedy and Zapruder tape. When people see that, well, the president got shot, but when they see that, they go, oh my. Man, it was a good point I was going to make with the civil rights movement. Some of the 1965. Anyway, but I think you get my point. So,
all right. So, Candyman saying it was a front neck shot with the 30-06.
Candyman, I don't know what's in your candy, but you're wrong. Because you see, here's the thing. I can prove every single aspect. Because if you've got one aspect of a case, all right, you say, well, it was done with this. Okay, but you can't answer any of the other things that go with that. Well, then you've got no case. That's kind of the definition, like, this works, but all these other things don't work. Okay, well, then you got to try something else by definition. All right, you shot from the front with a 30-06. Everybody would have looked at that and said, wow, you shot from the front with a 30-06, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because, again, you shot with a 30-06. All right, I don't know if Candyman shot guns before, but ball hall of VFT, right through a cattle neck. Matter of fact, find somebody with a 30-06. Go grab a cinder block. Go grab a cinder block, the thing that houses are made out of, and shoot it. It'll go right through. And you're going to tell me a neck stops that? Right there should make you go, okay, I guess I was wrong. And here's the thing. Telling the truth is hard. Hearing the truth is harder. All right? Nobody wants to believe that they're wrong. Nobody wants to believe they've been tricked. But that's life. That's how you learn. All right. Success is a terrible teacher. It only reinforces what you already know. And even Yoda said, failure, folly, the greatest teachers of them all. I welcome being wrong. In fact, it happens so infrequently. I know that makes me sound egotistical. I don't care. It's the truth. It's like I'm not wrong on these things, and it drives me nuts. Because like I said, I wish I could get the right lottery numbers. But if I'm wrong, I say, great, I learned a lesson in that. In anything bad that happens to you, and anytime you're wrong or anytime you get swindled or whatever, you have to ask yourself, what is the lesson here? Because that's what life's all about. And then we get older and we teach the young these lessons that hopefully they don't make the same mistakes as us. Because there's a meme that said, by the time we realize our mother was right, we have a daughter that thinks we're wrong.
All right, next question is from Spooky. Isn't there more to this than figuring out the angle from which the shot came? like who and why. And you've had a couple of other people ask, what are your thoughts on motive and who could, you know, the bigger picture, basically?
Like I said before, my main thing is figuring out the shot, because if we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt, or at least put into question, that the states, because the evidence, the forensic evidence is what wins cases. Everything else is technically circumstantial evidence, right? So most of the cases, you have fingerprints, DNA, shot, ballistics. That's why we have all these things, because anybody can say anything. And, you know, when you watch the monkey business illusion, all right, there's also the one where, you know, the, and this all planned, the guy is in the classroom and the guy dressed as a clown comes in and says, whatever, six separate tyrannus, and goes, bam, professor's got a squib, falls to the floor, and then they carry him off and everyone thinks the professor got shot. The cops come in and interview everybody. What happened? Well, just like Obi-Wan says to Luke, you'll find that the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. So what we see, all right, and anybody who's married, what did I say versus what did you hear, you know? And what you see might be the truth, but is it fact? So first we have to establish that everything that is scientifically based can be disproven. Then you can move on to, it's almost like the mask in the airplane. You got to put it on yourself before you put it on your kid or somebody else, because otherwise then you both die. So we got to figure this out first, but who might have done it? Honestly, like I said, it's a professional hit, so somebody, but for what reason? So you've got, so I guess I'll delve into some of this. All right. It could be something as simple as Antifa. It could be something as simple as, you know, people higher up, Democrat Party donators, because like I said in your other video, Charlie Kirk got, I think it was about 30,000 new registrants of young people, which once you change somebody's mind, and they go, ah, they're likelier to stay on that path, right? It's like if you have somebody who grows up in a not-so-good environment, they're more likely to, you know, enter a life of crime or whatever versus somebody from a more affluent family, because you kind of continue what – it's just like, you know, if your parents are both Catholic, you went to Catholic Mass, you're more likely to be Catholic, whereas you live in Calcutta, you're more likely to be a Hindu. Same kind of thing, right? But it could be that, to where they Charlie got this many votes and they realized, we got to take this guy out, because he was literally going to be what knocked this whole wokeness thing out of the game. I mean, he was the linchpin, and it's not like this is an idea. This really was all wrapped up in the man. Kind of like same thing with Trump, you know, whether it's cult of personality or whatever, it's like people follow him. Now I could take his ideas, right, and be like, oh my God, I believe in the exact same things, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, well, you don't vote for you, but they know Trump. So it could be that. It could be a lot of people are theorizing it's Israel and whatnot. Possibly, I guess. Here's my bone of contention with that. If you got somebody who's about to say, I no longer support Israel, that war or whatever is going to eventually be over, and probably over a lot sooner than most of us think. It's probably going to be done, I'm guessing, like maybe early next year, unless something else happens, because they got most of the people they said they want to get, you know, and then this will all stop. This will all blow over. It's just like when you and your spouse have a fight, you're really at each other's throats. You think, God, I'm done with this. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, yeah, it was a pretty bad fight. Okay, well, maybe I was wrong about this. You know, you resolve these things. So it doesn't make a lot of sense that they would take out somebody who basically helped Trump, their guy, according to the theory, get into office, but we're going to take that guy out because he's going to, you know, he really hasn't. We, you know, with the text now, we know he has, but he hasn't said any of that really up front. He hinted at it and whatnot, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why you would take it would be like, you know, shooting somebody over a disagreement, you know, or $2 or whatnot. It's like, okay, you ended somebody's life over a disagreement, $2. Now, yeah, people do that. It happens all the time, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense when you're talking world politics that you take out a guy like that instead of saying, look, dude, I know we're doing bad things and whatnot, but this is war and it's going to be over soon. And then it's going to go back to this. And here's the plan. Like, they didn't do that to him. Netanyahu knows Charlie, right? So I don't know. That, again, it's entirely possible, but that just doesn't make sense. Again, what would I do? Now, if I'm playing the long global politics game, whether it's, you know, stopping trade with China or Russia or the pipeline or getting oil through here and Benghazi with the Syrian pipe, whatever that is. Why would you risk that when you could have just said, okay, I get it. Keep it down. Keep it down. It's going to be over by March. Seriously, we're almost done. I know we're doing bad things, but just give it some time. I mean, how many times have you done that? You know, whether it's you get a cancer diagnosis and, you know, your mother's terminally ill and you say, just don't tell her. She doesn't need. I saw it was the doc. I just happened to be watching it. I think it was at a doctor's office. And this guy was in prison and he drank Drano to get into the hospital because his mom was dying of cancer there. So he could just say, I'm sorry. You know, so they went and talked to her and she said, I'm never talking to him again, because they took her off her meds so she could be conscious and then went back in. And he told the story of why, because he joined the gang because he didn't have a dad, an upbringing, whatever. And he took his sister out and she got killed in her drive-by. But they said that, well, your mom forgives you, even though she didn't. But now then she died. So now he's thinking his whole life, okay, mom forgave me. But that might be the difference between him continuing the life of crime or him saying, mom forgave me. I can now maybe straighten my life out. But again, they could have told Charlie that, said, dude, just chill out for a little bit, versus killing him in a professional way. So I don't know. I really don't know. Somebody did it, but for that particular, I would think honestly more that, you know, people have got a lot of money invested in things, whether it's wind and solar, because really there is those two aspects. We're going to do business this way and make a lot of money this way, or business this way and make a lot of money this way. Okay, so say you're doing wind and solar and you're giving all your money to that, and all of a sudden you lose out. Jim Belushi in Mr. Destiny, the Niles Pender is the name, he cracks the old man over there with the golf club because nobody's going to screw Niles Pender out of $2.1 million, and he breaks the table right before he goes and cracks the old man. People have killed each other for sneakers and $2 and whatnot. So again, it happens when you're talking all these massive politics. I just don't see that being on the table where they could at least have said, dude, just chill out. You know, I don't get why they would kill. He was literally the goose that laid the golden egg that got people in the conservative movement, young people, which is what you need, is the demographic you're going for in this video. It's the demographic ABC and NBC. And it's always the 18 to 34 demographic, the young people. He was doing it. That to me is a bigger threat than anything else with Israel and Gaza and this war. So I would lean more towards, and of course, as soon as I put my video about this guy, I'm sure it's coincidence because I don't know if you used it, but what if somebody saw it and go, okay, now we need to release this J6 Ukrainian short-haired female was the one that planted the bomb, which great, but why release it now?
Let me just add a little bit there before the next question. So Candace finds it highly suspicious that certain donors were leaning on Charlie and withdrawing money from Charlie because of, for example, hosting Tucker Carlson and expressing certain changes in certain beliefs. So, you know, if you look at who benefits, it is very suspicious. Candace isn't saying decisively she thinks she knows who done it. She's just saying it's very suspicious that he was having a premonition of his own death because of the, you know, the menacing tone of these donors that were putting him through under a lot of pressure to believe and say certain things. All right. Anyway, let me go over to the next.
Well, I could piggyback off of that real quick. I heard that too, and it does make a lot of sense. But again, you're killing the goose that laid the gold egg. So say that one donor pulled out $200 or $2 million when he's got $100 or $500 million pool. The other factor, I think that happened, which of course leads back to another case, that the two biggest criminal enterprises, it used to be one, but now it's two. The two biggest criminal enterprises are drugs and human trafficking. The drugs you use once, you put it up your nose once, it's gone, it's done, you got to manufacture again. Human trafficking, you could take that person, the same one, and then get rid of them. So it would make more sense that aspect of it, because if they would have done the audit and they found out all this money, but here's another thing. But I'm sure somebody got in and they got their little fingers in that little cookie jar and they started pulling money and transferring money within his organization in order to get this, because they just like Better Call Saul, where Hector Salamanca, you know, taps Nacho's dad, who owns the car upholstery shop, to be the front for his new drug ring. And Nacho's like, no, it's my dad. Don't do this. I'll find you another. He's like, no, it's got to be your old man's. You know, he's got an established business and all that. So I can completely see in that aspect of it. But he had said, I think they're going to kill me. Why would they kill you over some missing money? It's like, okay, you stole money, fire the guy, or you stole money. I mean, you know, my best friends, granted, alcohol's involved, point a loaded gun at me. I mean, people do crazy things, you know, but I just don't understand why somebody would dig into that and use his organization. The only other factor would be is if, and again, this is going way into conspiracy thing, he married Erica and Erica was already involved in this with this Romanian Angels thing. And I did that part of my video because, in Romania with Nicolae Ceaușescu, decree 770, no abortion, no contraception. So he'd have all these little commies raised by the state, and they're good soldiers and they follow his orders, just like Hitler. They pledged, you know, SS pledged to Hitler, not the Nazi, not Germany. So he had all these babies. Well, what are you going to do with these babies? Well, that's easy pickets for human trafficking. But it's also, if you really actually wanted to help kids and orphans, that's where you go, where all these orphans are, right? So it's both, but that would be something that they would kill him for, because that would be the same thing with Epstein. That's why, because the human trafficking thing really now really does, in my opinion, around the world, because there's so many people for whatever reason are into this stuff. So you get people supplied and then you can blackmail people. You can do what you want. And honestly, a lot of it, I think, compounds on each other. It's like, well, we did it to him. Let's just do it to him. We don't really need to do it to him. He's kind of a small, just do it to him anyway. Blackmail him. So that would be more of my, if it wasn't something to where politically they wanted him out because he was getting votes, which means the Democrats wouldn't win ever again. But that human trafficking thing is on both sides, whether it's the Franklin scandal.
Let's go over to the next question. Do coroners typically work overnight to do their examinations so that Kirk's body could be flown to Phoenix less than 24 hours after the event?
That would again be the state examiner or the county coroner, but I think it's just the state examiner in Utah. It's like anything. If you're politically connected, you can get things done. Matter of fact, my dad's dad had a master's degree and was with the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. My mom grew up on a farm and didn't have indoor plumbing until she was 16, right? Now, my dad had a license plate with only four numbers. And if you had low numbers instead of six on your license plate back then, it means, you know, because my grandfather's involved in politics and you were kind of tied in with whoever the governor was. So my mom's parents were farmers, staunch Democrats. Matter of fact, I still have a shirt right there in that closet from Washington, D.C., the Hard Rock Cafe, with my grandmother, because she was head of the Democratic Women's Democrat Women of Indiana, and got flown out to Bill Clinton's inauguration, his first inauguration. So you got these two opposing sides, but the license plate, my grandfather saw that license plate, looked at my mom and said, when's this yahoo leaving? But if you're politically connected, even back in 68? So he knew from that license plate that my grandfather was politically connected. So if you're politically connected, you can get things done. So to call the examiner and say, look, this is obviously a big case. You know, we need this done right now so we can fly into Phoenix. And of course, he's probably thinking, certainly, I'll do anything to help the family. No problem. When, you know, but if he does the examination, he says, 30-06 is what you said? Yep. Like Winston Wolfe with Quentin Tarantino in Pulp Fiction, I got oak in my bedroom. Marcellus, Uncle Marcellus will finish you with a nice new bedroom set for these sheets. Oh, oak is nice. So, you know, anything like that, when you're politically connected, you can literally almost do anything. I mean, Peg Lautenschlager ran her car into a ditch, didn't get a DUI, who was the former AG, late former AG of Wisconsin. So, yeah,
You got a few people asking, why have you got a bumblebee on your T-shirt?
I've got a bumblebee on my T-shirt. See, this is Print-A-Bee. So there's Print-A-Bee, gifts.com. So I finally started getting some merch, has T-shirts and whatnot. But you can order it through this company. So Red's Random Rumination merch. Also, because you've got a So anyone watching this, okay, if you order anything off of Printable, you've got customizable shirts, you've got blankets, you've got Christmas ornaments. There's a lot of, because there's a lot of different, you know, flags and colors for, say, the LGBT community. Anything you can imagine, pansexual, transsexual, intersexual, why is that, everything, modify it and you can personalize it. But if you use, now it's case sensitive, so capital A, Atwood, 11, since it's 11. Oh, it's Veterans Day. Atwood, 11, capital OFF, so you get 11% off. So Atwood, 11 off. So it's capital A, Atwood, 11, capital OFF. If you put that in the coupon box, thank you. You get that, you get 11% off anything. And if there's people in the UK that want it, send me an email at regsrandom, regsrandom@gmail.com. And I'll try to see if I can't get a local printer in the UK so that you guys can avoid you know, the tariffs and the shipping and the long delays and such. It's obviously coming up on Black Friday. But yes, printtobegifts.com or printtobe.com that you can then click the link. So you can get anything personalized. We can even do personalized designs, like if you've got an idea and you want this design, we can even work on it. So say you do something AI, but you say, well, I'd really like these things to be this color and these things to be, you know, like ears to be more pointy or whatever. We can do that. Printtobe, that's where you go to get printtobegifts.com. It's where you go to get my merch. You can also go to printtobe.com. So, but yeah, that's why the bumblebee is on my shirt. It's just rocking my merch generator. So.
All right. Thanks, Red. I got to go help put the baby to bed. So you have a great rest of your day, my friend. I'll close the show and let you go. You take care. Cheers.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Cheers. Bye-bye. All right, viewers. Today, StreamYard has changed so that we can now offer two different views of this. I'm just curious, viewers, if you're watching the wide screenshot on YouTube, put a one in the chat. If you're watching the portrait shot, put a two in the chat. And if you think it's easier on the eye, if you're on your phone with this new option, if you want us to keep going with it, let us know in your comments in the chat. I'm looking at both the screens right now, and I can see it does look better on my phone. So we will probably keep this going. And yeah, people are wondering why is there two streams on YouTube right now? It's because StreamYard today is, and they're also possibly going to let us stream on Instagram as well. So one is the landscape format and two is the portrait format. Yeah, so with the portrait one, we now possibly are going to start streaming on Instagram as well. They still don't have TikTok available yet, though. We've got over 1 million followers on TikTok, so it would be great if we could start streaming over there as well. Red, done a great job again. Please subscribe to his channel. His links are in the description box. And if you missed part one, that's down there. If you want to email him, that's also in the description box. And then Ron had an excellent show before this. Ron's absolutely on fire right now on his shows, exposing secret societies, etc. Well, if you missed this evening's show, this one's going to take you over to it when it finishes. Exposing elites, their truth, secret, and lies with sobering stories. And I think he had almost 2,000 watching that at one point this evening. And then we've got a former witch exposing secret societies in 2 days. And we've got a former inmate on Epstein, Liberty Vault. And then we've got the Manhattan Madam exposing Epstein. So we've got tons more coming up. Shane, the guest booker, has been WhatsApping me. While I've been live, he's got something big for us this week as well. Widescreen looks good. Thank you. That's the normal screen that I'm on. But now we've got the portrait as well option. It does look like it's bringing in a new audience as well. I think it's going through the shorts feed, so that's good as well. If it increases the reach of what we are doing. Anyway, I've got to go help with baby Ziggy. I just got back from Glasgow. I spoke at a Barlinnie prison. I'll post the photo up tomorrow. And I also spoke at the Glasgow Literary Festival. I had fun up there, great meeting all the people, and really enjoyed it. It was a hell of a long way to go, though. But thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to Red and check out his B stuff. I'm going to end this one now and hope to see some of you tomorrow. But stay tuned if you want to watch.